happy face. It's time for Love Workshop.
I just sort of sit around day after day in quiet desperation, knowing that I have nothing to be happy about.
Well, probably the best thing to do would be to kill yourself.
Love Workshop!
Or maybe you could get into some real sick behavior, like possibly rubbing this chocolate snack cake I have here into your hair.
Love Workshop, the weekly program designed to make your life a little less enjoyable with...
me, Vern.
And myself, Craig. That's us,
Vern and Craig. Hello, everyone. This is Vern, and I'm here... excuse me just a second. Hello?
Hey, Vern?
Uh-huh?
This is Craig.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Guess what?
What?
I'm not going to be able to make it down to do the show tonight.
Oh, that's a shame.
Quite so, Vern. But you see, I'm nice and comfortable here with a cold drink in my favorite chair,
mm-hmm.
watching a little television.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I figure, what's so earth-shattering that I should get up and spoil the whole thing?
Yeah, well...
Boy, I just saw the greatest commercial, Vern.
Oh.
It was one of those Anita Bryant orange juice ads?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, she comes on in the beginning and says, what's a Florida girl like me doing in Bangladesh?
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows Anita and her splendid family riding around the country in these little agricultural stick carts that they use there,
mm-hmm.
with balloons and big pictures of orange juice singing about the Florida sunshine tree.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Uh-huh. And you know that other commercial they do where Anita and her family are riding around in boats,
mm-hmm.
and they all have these fresh-off-the-shelf life preservers on to show what an exemplary safety-first family they are?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, in this one, in Bangladesh, instead of life preservers, everyone in the family has their brand new World Health Card pinned right to their shirts to show they've all had their shots in accordance with sound family health practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So anyway, Anita and the rest of the children are singing about the Florida sunshine tree, and then all these beggars and starving, bloated, screeching herds of people start joining in on the fun,
mm-hmm.
and sampling the orange juice and nodding their heads in approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the ad shows all sorts of quick vignettes of typical cross-sectional Bangladesh natives hamming it up with the orange juice, like this one native beggar who does a sort of mock ventriloquism routine,
mm-hmm.
where she's holding her dead baby up like a Charlie McCarthy or something,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
pouring orange juice into its mouth while she's singing, I left my heart in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
in
yeah.
its real pidgin English,
mm-hmm.
while the orange juice is naturally running down all over the dead kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like she's trying to do the old ventriloquism bit where you make the dummy sing while you're drinking a glass of water.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But of course she's got the trick backwards, pouring the juice down the baby's mouth,
yeah.
which is what makes the whole thing so cute.
Yeah, because she's
this enduring little foreigner with
foreigner.
A big grin trying to do her best to be just like an American, like Anita.
Yeah.
But somehow not able to get it quite right.
Yeah, just like a foreigner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then there's this other vignette where a group of the locals are washing their feet in a pitcher of orange juice, and Anita comes up in her little wooden cart and shakes her head, no, 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 and
uh-huh.
points to her mouth. And so the natives start putting each other's feet into their mouths and licking them.
Uh-huh.
And Anita just kind of shrugs her shoulders and smiles and says, what am I going to do with you people?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then they show a couple of shots of these real nice orange trees back in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Then they cut back to Bangladesh, where Anita and some guy who's supposed to be the U.S. ambassador are presenting a big oversized cashier's check to the government of Bangladesh to help them buy a new knife for their sterilization program.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then some crazy native comes running up to one of Anita's kids with their little cart, which I don't know whether I mentioned this before, but they
mm-hmm.
kind of stylized the carts in the ad.
Uh-huh.
But what they did was take the basic Bangladesh stick cart design and
mm-hmm.
miniaturize it a little for Anita's kid
mm-hmm.
and put all sorts of proper safety devices on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like reflector tape and little horns so that American kids seeing the ad wouldn't be encouraged to go out and build a Bangladesh stick cart and pull it around out in the streets without any safety equipment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, so anyway, this guy runs up to Anita's kid and thanks her for all of the assistance she and their family provided in making it possible for him to receive a quality vasectomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he lifts up his sheet or whatever it is that he's wearing
yeah.
and shows her the superb orange juice finance craftsmanship on the base of his testicles, which is
yeah.
when the camera zooms in on the scar, and you can see that it's actually a little map of Florida as the camera gets closer and closer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then these tiny animated orange trees begin popping up out of the scar, and Anita's face appears in a box in the upper left-hand corner saying, I may be a girl from Florida, but I sure like Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 million natives burst through the picture on the screen, like those cars and all the Shell gasoline ads.
Yeah.
And they hold up their glasses of orange juice and start singing, I left my heart in San Francisco.
This
really bad English, with each and every one of the 2 million of them decked out in a freshly pressed Bobby Brooks blouse and little golf sweaters and bow ties.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Vern, it was one of those truly masterful television moments that really goes great with this nice cold drink I'm having.
It sounds like it, yeah.
And what with me being so comfortable in my favorite chair, I'm sure you can see what a hard time I'm having getting into the frame of mind to drive all the way out there and do the show.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, Vern, hold everything. Vern.
Oh, what?
Before I go any further, I've got to tell you this remarkable joke that I heard the other day while I was having a cold drink over at this friend of mine's house.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Well, we were just sitting around taking it real easy, having something cool to drink. Let me get another drink this thing.
Okay.
We were just sitting around taking it real easy, having something cool to drink, when he comes up with this joke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you sure now?
Yeah, I'm all set.
All right.
Okay.
There were these three traveling cryptographers, you know, driving along on this deserted road in the middle of winter in a car with white wall tires, when all of a sudden the engine starts to develop a funny noise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first cryptographer was a Catholic, and he says, Doc Fosbin, which was code for, I think something's wrong with the engine.
Uh-huh.
And the second cryptographer, who was a Jew, replies, Ochlak Benlax, which was code for, I agree, the engine sounds funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third cryptographer, who was Polish, says, you're certainly right. It is a nice day.
Yeah.
Well, the other two cryptographers sort of look at each other knowing that their Polish associate was a little slow with the code.
Yeah.
So they politely agree with him and pull over to the side of the road by these large trees with a fence around them and take a look under the hood of the car. Well, the Catholic cryptographer examines the situation and says, Sanib Bonum.
Mm-hmm.
And that means it will take forever to fix this engine.
Yeah.
And the Jewish cryptographer says, Lizpok Thaxdil, which means, what are we going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
To which the Polish cryptographer responded, no thank you, I don't smoke. Obviously still completely out of touch with the code.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, they decide to abandon the car and begin to look for help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty soon they discover an old farmhouse, sort of a pale green in color, with a light on. And so they knock on the door, and this wiry old farmer answers in his long johns with an electric lantern eating a piece of toast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first cryptographer says, Zognog Visbit, which meant that their car broke down. But the farmer, not being a cryptographer himself, didn't understand. Well, the second cryptographer chimed in quickly, Bignib Jibnig, meaning we'd like to get some help. But the farmer was still totally puzzled.
Uh-huh.
So he turned to the Polish cryptographer and said, what the hell are your friends talking about?
Uh-huh.
And the Pole replied, of course I have plenty of life insurance.
Yeah.
Well, the farmer was completely dumbfounded by all of this. Mm-hmm. But he sensed by their clothes that the cryptographers were not local people.
Mm-hmm.
Who were probably in a jam of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So he led them to the barn and showed them a place in the hay just behind the water trough where they could bed down until morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as he turned to walk back to the main house, he stopped suddenly right next to a barrel of wood and told the traveling cryptographers that he was a generous and fair individual.
Yeah.
But if there was one thing he would not tolerate, it was any hanky-panky with his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his daughter, have you heard this joke before, Vern?
No, I haven't. Go ahead.
Good.
I haven't.
Okay. Anyway, his daughter turns out to be this unbelievably gorgeous 19-year-old blonde bombshell who's naturally curious.
Mm-hmm.
And she sneaks over to the barn to get a look at the visitors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Catholic cryptographer sees her first and says, Libnik Blitblack, meaning go back to your house or we'll all get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But the precocious daughter thought they were just playing a word game or something and walks over to the Jewish cryptographer who pleads, Modbag Fizneb, or please, you have to leave or your father will kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, the father hears all the commotion out in the barn, grabs his rifle, which was in the closet, and runs into the barn, swinging the rifle wildly, knocking his daughter and the Catholic and Jewish cryptographer unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He then cornered the Polish cryptographer and told him that he had better have a good explanation for what he and his friends were doing with his daughter, or he would shoot all of them dead on the spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just then, the Catholic cryptographer came to momentarily, long enough to gasp, Borvix Dibzot.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does that mean, snarled the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
We just screwed your ugly daughter, replied the Polish cryptographer.
Ha 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 ha!
Boy, I tell you, Vern, I've worked up quite a thirst telling all these jokes and stories, one right after the other like this. So I think I'm going to dash into the kitchen and fix myself another cold drink. Can you hold on for just a second?
What are you having?
Cold drink.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what kind of cold drink are you having?
You know, I really don't have the slightest idea, Vern, but it's delicious.
Well, good.
It really is.
You don't know what it is?
No, I don't. They're just really good, though. I got an interesting letter this week addressed to the Love Workshop from Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Yeah.
That famous Russian author who writes about Soviet prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he says, "Dear Vern and Craig, I am quite well known to be a very serious and conscientious sort of fellow, but as my closest associates will tell you, my first love is comedy, especially in the form of jokes. I know a million jokes. I was thinking that if I gave you a sample of one of the millions of jokes I know, you might be inclined to let me come on your program and make jokes on a regular basis. Here's my joke."
This is all in his letter, right?
Yeah, this would just, I'm reading it word for word.
Okay.
It says, "These three Soviet commissars, one is Ukrainian, one is Lithuanian."
Lithuanian?
That's what it says.
Okay, one is Ukrainian, one is Lithuanian.
And one is Polish.
Okay.
They're walking along the archipelago, I think that's how you say it.
Archipelago?
That's whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And they see a farmhouse with a light on. Duty-bound to examine the validity of the farmer's bulb permit, the three commissars wait until the middle of the night and then bang on the door thunderously. The terrified farmer answers the door, which is brown, and informs the commissars that his permit is posted in the barn, along with all of his other government documents, in full compliance with the law. Okay, so the three commissars scrutinize all the permits thoroughly, and the first one, who is Ukrainian, says under his breath to the other commissars, "Pognigzi Volvoga Lebunem."
In Russian.
Apparently. I don't know. It says, which means everything seems to be in order here. Then the second commissar, who is Lithuanian.
Lithuanian?
Whispers, "Ognin Dujil Dubinksiki."
That's Russian too, right?
I don't know it, Vern.
Okay.
It says, meaning this man is obviously a loyal servant of the state. That's what it means, apparently.
Okay.
As might be expected, the farmer was becoming increasingly anxious during all of the scrutinizing and whispering. So finally, unable to contain himself, he turned to the Polish commissar, who happened to be standing closest to him, and shouted nervously, "Please tell me what is happening." "We just screwed your ugly daughter," replied the Polish commissar. "Do you like my joke, Vern and Craig? I hope you will say yes. Sincerely, Alexander Solzhenitsyn." Hey, Vern, I think I'm going to grab myself another cold drink.
Okay, I might as well be going myself. Good night, Vern.
Good night, Craig.
That's us. Craig and Vern.